This is 89.1 WEMU. David Fair with you on a Friday, and it's this time each week we catch up with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell. She helps provide a view of what's happening in Washington and how those actions, or lack thereof, impact us here in Michigan and Washtenaw County. And good to talk with you again.
Good morning, David. On a rainy morning.
No kidding. President Trump last night wrapped up the four-day Republican National Convention and did so with what some are calling a fire and brimstone kind of speech. How much of the convention did you watch?
Too much. I watched it. I watched it all week. I have to tell you that we have a thread of my women colleagues, and some of them thought that there's another one of my colleagues is named Debbie. There might be a double Debbie aneurysm this week.
Well, the president is now defining himself as the law and order president, and yet throughout the convention, the administration clearly broke the Hatch Act law. It prohibits the use of government resources for campaign purposes, and of course, the White House was the backdrop for the convention. State Department rules were broken by allowing appointed officials to give campaign speeches, including the one by the Secretary of State. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said, "No one outside the Beltway cares about the Hatch Act." Do you care?
Well, I do care. I mean, first of all, a lot of people probably don't even know what the Hatch Act is, though Republicans use it quite conveniently when they tried to cancel the post office town hall we were going to have and say it was political. And by the way, it was Mark Meadows who intervened and said, "This is official, and if you don't do it, I'm going to hold a hearing with Debbie Dingell," 2 years ago, that famous town hall. It was not okay. It was simply, I do believe a lot of the American people believe and know that he took something that is a symbol of unity, a symbol of America, not a party, not a Republican Party or a Democratic Party, and it was a backdrop every single day. And while I've come to expect that of Donald Trump, and I would ask people not to harden their hearts, and we need to look into that, quite frankly, the clearer violation to me was Secretary of State appearing at a political convention from Israel. It is our own Senator Vanderveen, who ran for president, a Republican, who ran for president and used to be an isolationist during World War II, who said politics stops at water's edge. Secretaries of States from both presidencies, both cabinets, Republicans and Democrats, do not go, have not gone to political conventions because diplomacy needs to be set apart from politics. And he went to Israel, of all countries, Israel, and beamed into the Republican convention. That deeply offended me.
Well, and if we look back, in 1997, then-Vice President Al Gore had admitted to making campaign and fundraising calls from his White House office. The Republicans were very upset because it broke the Hatch Act law, and the scandal followed Gore through the rest of his time as vice president and through his losing campaign for president. Ultimately, there were no real sanctions there. Will Democrats seek sanctions in this instance of breaking the Hatch Act?
You know, I don't know. I think we're going to investigate. We're going to get the facts. We need to make sure that there was no federal tax dollar used. I mean, was anybody offended at seeing 1,500 people on the White House lawn not wearing masks, not keeping their physical distance? And while we're telling the country that they can't do that, we're spreading COVID. I don't want that to have been a COVID convention we all watched last night either. That also deeply worried me. Doesn't send the right message to America. And it's just one more symbol of not taking COVID seriously the way we need to, and how COVID's been mismanaged in this country from the beginning.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and our weekly conversation with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell continues. While that Republican National Convention was going on, the nation once again saw an increase in the ongoing wave of protests over police brutality and the killing of black people. Jacob Blake was shot 7 times in the back by a white officer in Kenosha, Wisconsin. That was followed with a shooting by a white Blue Lives Matter supporter that left 2 dead and another injured. What concerns you about the Trump administration's response to these ongoing incidents?
Well, I'm very concerned about this, and I think I've said this to you a couple of months ago, that I was very concerned that the president would try to use this as a wedge issue. And not only was I right to be concerned, we're now witnessing it. We need a leader that is going to pull us together, that's going to help heal this country and address the root problem that is causing what we are seeing in America is true, the murder of George Floyd. We have a man in a hospital bed. We still have no explanation from the police. as to what he did, as to why the policeman was, I'm assuming the policeman thought he was defending himself, but we have no explanation. And they shot them in front of three children. And yet we also have videotaped, David, of a white, young white man, 17 years old, walking down the street with an assault weapon that the police didn't stop. If that had been a young black man walking down the street with an assault weapon, I don't know if he'd be alive today. If you're black or white, you get treated differently. We have to talk about it and address it. But I am not going to let this president paint us as being for rioting and looting and anarchy. We're not. He's got people from the far right of his party in this country in those riots and encouraging people. I've seen it in the Black Lives Marches or the community gatherings we did here where people were coming with guns to these things and bringing bricks and hoping to cause trouble. And we had good police chiefs in all my smaller communities. And they worked together as they went from one community to the other because they wanted to support the kids that were gathering. But they knew they had troublemakers, and they tried to head it off. And I've had men in front of my house with assault weapons. This is not okay. And it's being encouraged by the other side. I need to thank our law enforcement, our police chiefs, we all do, for keeping our community safe. And we've got to address a problem in America that's real, and it's not either or. It's both, and we need a leader that isn't going to put kerosene in the fire, but is going to lead us in uncomfortable and difficult decisions and pull us together.
Well, what of the president's contention that unrest, lawlessness, and chaos can be the only result should Joe Biden win?
We didn't see it during the Obama days, did we? When has this occurred during the Trump presidency? We've seen it in other times of, you know, we saw it in the early 60s. The Civil Rights Movement, then the Vietnam War protests. We've seen this in different parts of our country. But we need leadership to address the issues. I mean, look at what's happening in the world of sports. It's sort of been remarkable to watch all the games that have not been played in all the football, the baseball, the basketball, all the team sports, and the management are supporting, sending a message about the need to address the issue. And it's being done in a nonviolent way.
So,
we need a leader that's going to work on being it nonviolent, but listening and addressing it.
Well, to take that a step further, something does need to be done. And the fact we're now in the final stretch of election season, will there be any progress on federal policing reform measures?
I don't know. I mean, we passed the George Floyd bill. It's a Senate not looking at it. I don't know what the Senate's going to even be willing to do. It's going to be very interesting coming out of this convention and coming out of August. We have so many things that absolutely must get done. People are scared about their unemployment. You know that. They need help. They need relief. We've got food insecurity where people are worried about being evicted. We need the HEROES bill. What are they going to do on that? The police bill is sitting there. Is there something we can do? There are efforts, I will tell you, to try to move something that can be bipartisanly supported. So behind-the-scenes discussions are going on that. And we have another, it's going to be another highly dramatic moment, which is the government budget expires on September 30th. Will this president shut the government down again? We are going to have a very intense, turbulent September, both on a campaign front and both on what must get done in Washington.
Once again, we're talking with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell, and I would like to go a little further on what you just touched upon. On Saturday of last week, you were among the members of the House voting to add funding to the Postal Service and reverse some of the cutbacks and changes the Postmaster General Louis DeJoy has instituted. The near consensus opinion is that it is going nowhere in the Senate. Now, you have consistently said you do reach across the aisle. You talk to other people in the other parties in both the House and the Senate. Do you see room for movement before we get to the general election?
I think there has to be some action. I mean, I think the people are home hearing that their constituents are really scared. I feel like they're getting ready to go off a cliff. But I don't know if they care, if they've got a heart. I think the critical bill that must pass will be the funding of the government. And there will be things that will have a continuing resolution. And we will look at it becomes another vehicle for potential action. And we will see what this White House is willing to do. Is he willing, and I hope not, to play with people's lives again and shut down the government? Or will we fund the government? And we'll see what other things might be included in that critical must-pass piece of legislation.
Many times when there's a disaster in our country, it is an occasion for people to come together from all walks of life and from all political perspectives. We have another hurricane impacting Texas, Louisiana, up into Arkansas. Do you think there will be bipartisan support to get the relief necessary there?
It cannot be partisan politics when people are hurting. I sincerely hope we can get this done.
I thank you so much for the time today, and I will look forward to our next conversation next Friday.
David, thank you.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.